You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, up on TSN 2. It's Brian Hazy, O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Go to 1in100.net. Leafs in Montreal tomorrow night. The most anticipated Leafs-Habs game in a long, long time. I think more so than opening night, even though opening night was John Tavares, the debut. But this is meaningful. Like, if you take us, if you go back to that date, nobody believed, not many people believed, when they played their second game on February 8th or whatever it is, they'd be a point apart in the standings.
I don't think
nobody saw that coming.
I don't think there's anything better than Saturday night in Montreal as a player. I don't know. It was just you went there in the morning, and there was this like underground walkway from the hotel. We stayed across the street, and I don't know. Everybody's like the security guards dressed differently. They look so serious, and it's just an environment. I thought warm up in Montreal was the best warm up in the league. Like everybody was in the building already for warm up.
Yeah,
they had great tunes. It was just, I don't know.
It's a great atmosphere, and I'll go back to that opening night, Brian. The reason why it has a different, I guess, air about it is the expectation of Montreal wasn't there. Everyone's like, okay, this team doesn't have centermen. They don't, you know, there's Shea Weber's out till Christmas. Carey Price, what's he going to be? Like, there were so many question marks about that team that it was just, I mean, they had an 18-year-old that was going to play his first game. Like, there was just, and the Leafs were just at a different scenario. Like, they had Matthews. They had all of their players kind of in line. Tavares' first game, there was an excitement. But now, if you've paid attention to Montreal, like, they're not a slouch. They're a good team. You know,
they're a point behind the Maple Leafs.
You're right. They've had a great year. They're consistent. But that's the difference is, you're badly. There's actually something on the line
Absolutely.
Here, as opposed to that opening night. It was just like, hey, let's see how this goes.
Right, and let's pull out the red carpet. And Tavares is playing his first game, and hey, this will be nice. Oh, the Habs played well.
Yes,
good for them.
They actually dominated. I remember that game. They dominated.
They played really well. They did play really well. The Leafs got lucky. Like they won an overtime. Matthew scored, but it felt like I was projecting. Okay, the Leafs are gonna, you know, cruise to 105, 110, maybe 115 points.
Yeah.
And if Montreal is in a playoff race, they're at like 93 or something, and maybe they get in the second wild card. And the fact is the Leafs have not necessarily done what we thought they might be capable of doing. There's still some runway here, but I don't think they're going to end up with 112, 114 points.
Right.
And the Habs are on pace for over 100 themselves.
Yeah.
So they've kind of met somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs have maybe not met the expectations, although that sounds a little bit crazy. They're still a very good team with a very good record.
Right.
Second overall in their division, and in the conference for that matter. But Montreal a point behind them. Now, the Leafs have two games in hand. But
yeah, that's the other thing.
You got to give credit to Montreal. They're a good team.
Well, they are a good team. And to me, there's more now. It's just going to be outside of the storylines. Like, this is just two good teams playing head-to-head. We are a point apart in the standings. Montreal obviously wants to try and win in regulation to make up that, you know, that game. There's two games, like you say, the Leafs have.
But they play each other three more times.
I know.
Like, that's the beauty of it, is that the Leafs have Montreal three more times.
That's good. That's good hockey down the stretch.
It's going to be fun, and that's the truth. Like, we talked about this earlier, the clickbait. When you look at the possible combinations for a first-round playoff, there's a lot of different options, and all of them would be very compelling. But I think if you spoke to the majority of lifelong Leaf fans, they'd say it would be very special just to witness a Montreal-Toronto playoff round. And I think I can speak for people in Montreal as well.
Yeah.
Because
I'd love to witness that.
It would be incredible. It's never happened in my lifetime. You know, last time was late 70s, 79, I think it was. So it's been a long, long time. And we've been close before. That's the only reason why I don't want to fully commit to believing that it could happen, because there have been previous years where you're like, if the playoffs started tonight, and then the playoffs, because they don't start tonight, fast forward 2 months, and it's not a possibility anymore. But
well, it is a possibility. I still believe Boston will be there. But
yeah, I think so, too.
Things can change, and Montreal's been a very consistent team. And Price, since, I guess, Christmas, has been lights out.
He's best goalie in the league since Christmas, would you say?
Arguably, or? Like the new year. Let's say the new year. You know, his numbers are right there. And now there are some stretches. You know, Binnington in St. Louis has had a nice stretch.
They
here
won
the last
again
end.
Last night.
One-nothing in overtime.
Right. Like St. Louis is in a playoff spot right now.
A month
with
ago,
games in hand.
A month ago, they were almost dead last or close to dead last. Yeah. Yep.
That's
how crazy it is out west, though. That's not the case out east.
No, it's not. It's a lot more defined out east.
Yeah.
Pierre LeBrun, hockey insider, later in the hour. Marc Gasol, he's going to be in New York. We believe he'll be playing tomorrow night. Why would you, you know, you've passed your physical. The trade went down on Thursday. Why would you not play on Saturday? He's a seasoned vet. He's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the anticipation. Kind of feels like that. Tavares, his first game opening night.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Raptors fans are jacked up to see what happens at the Garden tomorrow night when Marc Gasol makes his debut. And a chat about the potential impact that he could have and the ripple effect throughout the East. We're joined now by ESPN NBA writer back on Overdrive. Here is Kevin Arnovitz. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. How do you expect, or what do you expect, in which area will Marc Gasol have his biggest impact or make his biggest impact with the Raptors?
The interior defense, for all we hear about, this is a perimeter game now and 40 three-pointers a night. At the end of the day, as you get deeper into the Eastern Conference Finals, you're going to encounter Joel Embiid. You're going to encounter Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, driving like a locomotive in the paint. These guys, you know, in the case of Antetokounmpo, or for that matter, you know, anybody who's a perimeter attacker for Boston or anybody else, you know, no one stops those guys on the perimeter. There's a reason the games are averaging 130, 120, 110 points in a given night now. And at you still need interior defenders. That's not to say you don't give something up. You know, Gasol's not a guy who's going to run the floor on the break, but you do need a deterrent at the rim. You know, Serge Ibaka's traditionally offered that. This gives you another option. Gasol's become a capable three-point shooter. It allows you to kind of mix and match. You know, should the game go big, should the game go small, you obviously have, you know, the likes of Pascal Siakam, who's become so versatile. And there's always depth. I mean, you just don't know. Serge has been a wonderful revelation, kind of a reclamation project this year in some ways. You know, he had moments last year. This just is just a nice piece of insurance. And Gasol, when motivated, is still one of the best rim defenders, interior defenders, guys on the back line who just know how to direct a defense in a really tense possession in the game 6 or 7, close game. It's a guy who has been directing traffic as sort of one of the better defensive air traffic controllers in the league for some time.
If you were going to slot the top four in the East, how would you rank them right now with Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Toronto?
I mean, it was funny. I was on a hit with the Charlotte station earlier today, and they asked me the exact same question. And I will give an equally indecisive response. Who do I think has the best starting lineup? I think the Philadelphia 76ers. Who has the best starting lineup when healthy? The Toronto Raptors. Who's the deepest team at this point? Probably the Milwaukee Bucks. And yet, if you go and ask the Golden State Warriors who they fear in the East, they'll tell you the Boston Celtics. So you know what? That means something. That matters, because they play basketball and I don't for a living. So, you know, I think it's a really good sort of kind of visceral gut check, right? Like, who ask the people who need to face the East in a game 7 in June, who they don't want to see, and they'll tell you Boston, because Kyrie's a shot maker. He's been there before. There's still kind of a mystique, and you know that team, when the choreography is going well, is still really intimidating. So that's a really unsatisfying. I really like Milwaukee right now. I just think, you know, in some ways, the games demand so many different things. There are times where the series go slow down and become kind of stuck in the mud, and can you play a half-court game? There are times where it's just run and gun. Can you upsize? Can you downsize? Can you attack if you need to attack? Can you, you know, bomb away if you need to bomb away? Can you switch everything? Can you play man-to-man if that's kind of the best matchup? And for whatever reason, not for whatever reason, because they've assembled the proper personnel and have the best coaching. The Milwaukee Bucks sort of have checked all of those boxes. I still think Toronto. Again, I just haven't seen – I can't remember the last time I turned on a Raptors game and saw the team as intended to be constructed all on the floor. And I don't say there's a criticism. It's just – it's some by chance. Like, I just, you know, on a Tuesday night, I'll just – oh, the Raptors are on. It's 4:30 Pacific time. I'm, you know, I'm winding down. Let me turn them on. Where's Kawhi? Now, I'm glad they're managing Kawhi. Like, that's a good decision. You know, or you know, Kyle's out. And that's, you know, you need to be careful with Kyle. I mean, he's really valuable. But for whatever reason, I haven't seen the Raptors the way I kind of want to see the Raptors, or I imagine seeing the Raptors when I come there to cover the first round in April.
Well, that's been the narrative in Toronto is, do they have enough cohesion? Are they in sync? And I'm not sure it's possible to know or even believe that it's there, even if you saw it on a one-off, because Kawhi has missed so many games and Lowry's missed so many games. And Valanciunas was out for 30-plus, and now you're bringing in Marc Gasol. You know, they got about 30 left. Do you think they have enough time here to gel and be ready to peak come mid-April?
Yeah, I think there is enough time. And, I mean, these are really intuitive basketball players. I mean, I was having this conversation about Kyle Lowry the other day, just how instinctive he is on the floor. You know, he hasn't had a great statistical year when he has played. And yet... You know, I call it the gods of adjusted plus minus, you know, one of the more advanced stats we have. Every year he ranks as high as he is. And it's like, you know, how are they winning mid-50 games every year? It's, you know, it's DeMar and Kyle and, you know, a bunch of other guys. And the answer is Kyle Lowry is that impactful, even when he's not scoring. So, you know, obviously Kawhi is Kawhi. And, I mean, Marc Gasol is yet another guy kind of from the honors class of, you know, like those other two guys of sort of basketball IQ, you know, just really... I mean, Siakam is so, I mean, he's almost like, he's becoming Draymond-esque to me just in terms of sheer intuition and decision-making and how to maximize a possession or your place in a possession, you know. So I really like this team compositionally, you know, for basketball intelligence. Like if there is a roster that can get it quickly, you know, you couldn't do any better than the Toronto Raptors in terms of just sheer, you know, basketball IQ and versatility and just, you know, knowing where to be on the floor in a given possession. So I would worry less about them as I would any team. And that includes the Celtics, which is another, you know, guys like Horford and Kyrie who know how to play. To me, the Raptors still kind of lead of all those four teams. Like, who's kind of the smartest basketball team? I think it's still the Raptors just in terms of sheer instinct, which means that's good because they do need to get it together very quickly.
With Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN, they're also, I mean, very veteran-laden team, right? Like, Gasol's 34, Kyle's in his 30s, Serge is almost 30. You know, even Kawhi, who's been in the league for a long time and had a lot of success. Danny Green has been around for a long, long time.
It's funny. I forget about Danny. You know, I mean, that's how deep and smart this team is. Like, I literally can lay out a whole thing about basketball intelligence and forget Danny Green's even on the team.
Right.
Which is my bad. And if that, again, a further indication of, you know, those are guys I'm happy to go into May with. And, hey, if they still have to figure some things out, so be it. You know what I mean?
Well, what about the head coach, though? The only real rookie is Nick Nurse in this situation. I mean, how much of an impact do you expect him to have?
Listen, I mean, it's funny to say it's – I forget who the older actress's name was. I forget who day, but it was, I think she won a Best Supporting Oscar and she was in her 60s. And, you know, no one had really heard of her, but she'd been acting on the stage and in independent films and in Europe for years. And I remember she comes up and she says, oh, yeah, a newcomer. And everybody kind of laughs. That's how I feel about Nick Nurse. This is a guy who's coached his entire life. Like, for those inside of basketball who know coaching, they'll tell you, like Nick, between overseas and assistant and D-League and everything else, like nobody has drank and consumed and eaten and slept coaching as much as Nick Nurse, who's, you know, he looks like he's about 28, but he's actually, like, you know, I actually think Nick, like, older than 50 somehow.
Yeah, he is.
And I don't worry about that with Nick Nurse. You know what I mean? Like, the way you didn't worry about it with Mike Budenholzer when he first, you know, like, second or third season in Atlanta, all of a sudden they're 60 games. You know, like there's certain guys I just, you know, I'll happily take a guy who's that adaptable and that who thinks the game than a guy who rests on, not so much rests on their laurels, but is so settled in his philosophy that there might even be some inflexibility there. Like, Nurse is just an extremely adaptable basketball mind. Like, I don't worry about that.
We'll see where it takes us. Toronto's, we're gearing up. We're ready for a long run. Yeah. Let's hope it happens. Thank you, Kevin. Always appreciate you taking time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Here's Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN. Yeah, see? Nick Nurse is 51, a sneaky 51.
He does. He looks young. He's Benjamin Buttons. But
yeah, he does have a Benjamin Button vibe. He was really emotional talking about Valanciunas yesterday. Which you can understand. I mean, he was on the staff for a long time.
You're close with him, and sounds like JV. I mean, even you said like this guy is. You're sad to miss him or sad to see,
him go.
But
yeah,
seemed just like a good everyday guy that you pulled for.
Right, and that's been emotional. You know, multiple times this year because DeMar had the same type of aura to him.
Yeah, people loved him, and they were losing it when he got traded. They're like, I can't believe they traded that guy. And that all dissipated when
Kawhi
showed up
playing.
And he's like unbelievable, and people were like, "Yeah, okay,
yeah,
I can deal with that." But exactly. what is the angst going to be when if he leaves?
Well, or if they don't perform, right? Yeah. That's the gamble.
Pull the old same garbage and they get dummied in the first round, it's like.
We could have done that
really
with DeMar.
Good Masai.
Yeah, we could have done that with DeMar and Valanciunas, two guys we know and we like, and love being here.
And now you set the organization back.
Exactly. But it's still, it's worth it every day.
It's worth it every day of the week
because the truth is, when you look at how much better Milwaukee has become, Philly's better today. I don't know if Boston is better than they were a year ago, but they still have the same pieces. They have that capability. Yeah. If DeMar was still here, and Jakob Poeltl was still here in Valanciunas, the Raptors may be in the same spot in the standings. They might be.
Right.
No one would be feeling good about their chances.
Right.
Nobody. Yeah. We would be sitting here today saying, who's going to dust them off in the second round?
Great regular season team.
And one of the biggest factors is going to be, can these guys buy in and want to win for an organization that might not be a part of their future long term? Like, who knows where Kawhi and Danny Green are going to be next year? Who knows how this is all going to play out, how this group is going to unfold? It seems like this group is put together for this year and this year alone.
Yeah.
You guys are good enough, go ahead and do it. But it's like anything else. How much can you really buy in if you're thinking ahead of the game? If you're thinking, where am I signing? Where am I going to play?
And really, with all due respect, your winning season is losing in the finals, technically. Right?
If Golden State is waiting for them,
yeah, like we haven't thought about
that. There may be a ceiling on where you're really taking this ride. I hear you. But you would hope professionally they know, okay, we still need to compete. They're going to compete and try to win.
Oh, for sure.
But that there won't be any distractions.
Yeah.
And, you know, personally, they want to succeed for themselves and for their teammates, even if it's a short-term relationship. But that applies with every pro sports team. There's no guarantees that you're all going to be together again. Like, Golden State is dealing with the same thing.
Right.
Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson could leave at the end of the year.
Exactly.
I don't think they're going to be shortchanged come playoff time because of that cloud that may be brewing in the distance.
There's
you know.
Turnover on every team. That's why, I mean, we'll bring it back to the Leafs, continue to say, like, you know, you got a nice chance here because the team will be constructed differently next year.
Well, exactly. Like, we think Marlo will be back. We believe he will be. Who knows? Connor Brown.
Jake Gardner.
Who knows? Jake Gardner, Zaitsev. Every team has it.
And the core will be there, but you're going to have to reshape
the
situation.
Future headlines later in the hour. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us on the Leafs scouting the Carolina players last night. We're not sure who they were scouting. Probably Ferland and some defensemen.
Yes.
And it was a shootout last night. Carolina winning in overtime against Buffalo. But get Pierre's take on that.
Buffalo's a bit of a hot mess right now.
They're trying to hold on.
Yeah,
they need to kind of get on a heater here to feel better about themselves because they were on that heater of all heaters earlier in the year when they won 10 games in a row.
Yeah. But it's cooled off, and there's some frustrations right now. For sure.
Sam Reinhart's popping off. Phil Housley is saying, go talk to the GM if you want a true evaluation of our defense corps.
Wow.
That's basically his way of saying they're not good enough, but I'm not going to be the one to tell you that because
he's passing the buck.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what the GM would think of a comment like that. Like, jeez.
I wouldn't be happy.
No, I wouldn't be either.
I'd be like, Phil, are you insane?
This is the team you got.
Yeah, or lie. You're a coach. You all lie all the time. Say yes, we believe in the players in the room. That's
go talk
simple.
To the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the right
I can't
go
imagine.
Talk to Al.
And we do
He's
say that.
He's responsible for the show.
Well, Al is the architect of everything that happens
Yeah.
with this program. So if you have a complaint, direct it to Alberto. Pierre LeBrunner, Hockey Insider, will join us next. Future headlines later in the hour. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline as well. I'm going to have to circle back on that brawl at the bingo hall up in Rideau Lakes, Ontario.
Sounds like it got gritty. A couple nanas going right at it, toe-to-toe. You don't want to see the video of that? I feel like someone's got a video.
One of the nanas has Instagram and they have it.
I don't think they do.
There's no video evidence of the scrap?
As far as I know. I mean, I've only read about it. I wasn't seeking out a video. I feel like that would be uncomfortable. You know, I don't know if I want to see like a 79-year-old woman and an 86-year-old woman throwing bombs off each other's craniums over a specific seat at the bingo hall.
Yeah, I know.
Clark McSorley, that's my seat.
Right. With Bob Cole calling it. Because that's another reason why I don't want it. Because the internet would take it.
Boy!
The internet would take it, and they would put either like Jim Ross or Bob Cole.
Yeah, there would be...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there would be like an announcer that would talk right through.
Right.
And he drops it right.
Oh,
drops
what
it.
A bomb! Like, yeah. Rosemary is throwing bombs off Gertrude's head.
How... What could it get to? Because... I don't know, older ladies, isn't it like, excuse me, that's kind of my chair, and then the lady would say, oh, is it? I'm sorry. How does it get to, actually, let's throw a ball, like, what?
My read on the situation is, again, there was a seasoned vet that went to this bingo hall, and she had a seat that she had been sitting in for a long time.
Yeah.
Kind of like in class growing up.
That was her
assigned
seat.
She had a seat, and that was her seat. And the rest of the crew understood.
Or like name tags at a bar where it's like, if I'm here, if I show up and you're in that name, you got to leave.
Right, yeah. But I don't think there actually literally was. It was just an understanding
like,
that's where
she sits.
Rosemary sits every Friday night.
Yeah.
And a rookie, 79-year-old, came into the rotation, wasn't aware of the unwritten rules. She sat there, and I guess she had a bit of an attitude or a chip on her shoulder. New kid on the block. And said, I'm not moving.
Wow.
And then...
They got guaranteed. Like, do you think they got nose to nose, like, stood up and, like, what are you going to do about it? Or it's just kind of... Like, that's what fascinates me about this. Like, hopefully, first and foremost, hopefully they're both all right physically.
Right, of course.
Because somebody could have got...
But if I,
that goes without saying.
If I was an old codger ready to, like, get in, I would just kick him right in the knee and just, like, buckle him. Like, that's how you get... Isn't that the first thing they were? What would you do?
The famous CFL fight is the...
Break their hip.
Yeah, Mosca and Cap. If someone's got a cane, then you're, you know, obviously it's a really uneven fight.
You go Lloyd Christmas, in the back of the legs. Walking into the dinner.
Who had the cane? Was it Mosca or Cap?
Mosca did.
Mosca gave him a good whack, but Cap came in with a solid right.
Yeah. Well, Cap was trolling him. Cap had the flowers in his face.
And
Mosca hit him with the cane, and then Cap... one of the top 10... right-hand hook bombs in the history of live television.
He stepped into it.
Right.
I thought it was fake for years.
No, it's real, man. And so is this bingo hall up in Rideau Lakes, Ontario. Here's Pierre LeBrunner, our hockey insider. Do you know where Rideau Lakes is? We don't know where this is.
Not really. Also, are you guys drunk?
It's Friday. What's the point? What's your point, Pierre?
I came in halfway through this conversation, and I'm like, what are they talking about?
Well, Pierre, if you were an old bastard,
like
you were going to get in a tilt with another old dude, you're 85, what would the first, like, wouldn't you go for the kneecap?
If I make it to 85, it's going to be a goddamn miracle, but also, I'm in no bingo hall at 85. I'm at my cottage, and when the buzzer goes off, I just told my kids, roll me right off the end of the dock and save on the funeral.
There you go.
That's a frugal move. I like that.
Burial at sea. I like it.
That's right. Burial on Lake Muskoka.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well, it's a story. We'll let you find it. It's
something
all
a little bit more happy, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you're right. We should
probably. All I can think about is Pierre floating around Lake Muskoka.
Yeah, me too. I don't need that vision.
No.
That's a long ways
away,
luckily.
I would make sure to have my favorite Speedo on.
Yeah, well, of course.
My Dallas Cowboys Speedo.
You want it to be appropriate.
Man, that's really gross.
So our buddy Frank Saravelli floating out that the Leafs and Detroit have maybe had a discussion or two about Luke Glendening. And we all know that Mike Babcock, you know, loves this guy, and he coached him for a couple of years in Detroit. But Glendening's a fourth-line player. He's got this year and next, I believe, on his deal at 1.8. economically, I don't see how that would make sense for the Maple Leafs. Can you see this playing out?
Yeah, that was news to me, not to doubt Frank, of course. One of his sources would have told him that. Of course, it's weird. A year ago, this came up, too, which is kind of funny.
Right.
So, yeah, who knows? I mean, I do think that the two things that they would keep looking at until the 25th is some muscle up front or some grit, and on the back end, a right-hand shot, even if it's a depth D. I don't know if they'll get either one done. There's no pressure. I mean, they've got the big deal done in Muzzin. I was intrigued last night that Lawrence Gilman, the assistant GM, was shepherded to Buffalo to watch the Hurricanes again. Like, unless they're just having fun with us because they're just getting too much of a kick of it. Like, he's now watched the Hurricanes a couple of times in the last 2 weeks and their AHL farm team twice. Like, it's one thing to send your scout somewhere, but now the assistant GM of the Leafs has been all over Carolina. So it surprised me only because post-Muzzin, I'm like, well, okay, are they trying to trade for Ferland or a right-handed shot defenseman? I mean, they're right at the cap. It's got to be dollar in, dollar out. So anyway, who knows? So I thought that was fascinating last night.
Well, is there a chance they were there to see Buffalo? I mean, the Sabres, are they far away from saying, all right, our season's done and maybe we should unload some pieces?
Could be. I also think at this time of year, you got to be careful. I mean, you know, Habs fans went bananas when Mark Bergevin scouted two Ducks games in a row. So people always try to put two and two together this time of year, and sometimes it's dangerous. And like you said, sometimes they're not even watching the team you thought.
I was wondering about that, Pierre. Like, I can get, I think, as good a scouting reporter when I do video or...
Mm-hmm.
You can watch the game. Like, why do you want to make a big stir about being at the game? Like, what do you get out of being at the game as opposed to everybody sat in a press box, everyone's watched one on TV? Like, what are you really getting?
Well, I mean, listen, it depends what your philosophy is, O-Dog, now on the kind of information that teams thrive on. I let a scout once let me watch him enter the information that he put. You know, every team has that program, I forget what it's called, where they enter their post-game report.
Mm-hmm. RinkNet.
You're right. That's it. Noodles knows from working with the Flames. And so it's interesting. I do think the one thing you get, and maybe now it's not as true because of all the different angles you get, digitally, and you can watch the whole ice. But I think being in the rink, you know, as a scout, you see the whole play develop, you see the whole ice, and you can see a guy without the puck all night if you wanted. So I think there's still a reason for that. But on the other hand, with all the information these teams are taking in, particularly the Leafs and their analytics, yeah, I don't know what they get out of it.
Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Leafs in Montreal tomorrow night. Where are the Habs stand leading into the trade deadline?
Oh, my goodness. What a story, eh? I'm sure you guys have talked about it tonight.
Yeah, we have.
I do all their midweek games, as you know, in studio, and I'll be honest, I keep waiting for the bottom to fall out. I don't know if I am now. Like last night was that one of the first games this year, like, all right, let's get real. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's smoke and mirrors. It isn't. I mean, this is one of the hardest working teams in the league. The coaching staff completely revamped their system. They are as fast on the forecheck as there is in the league right now. But still, when I'm looking at the roster, I'm not seeing a team that should organically be scoring goals like they are, to be quite honest. So you're kind of waiting for that moment. And last night, they absolutely smoked the Jets like I haven't seen Winnipeg play this year. And so, I don't know, they got Winnipeg, Toronto, Nashville, and Tampa in this four-game set. You better believe that they're pumped for this four-game set.
No kidding.
They're trying to, I think, tell the world. I mean, we're all guilty of it. I'm on Leafs lunch all the time, and we talk about that Boston-Toronto first round, right? That's all we talk about.
Yeah.
Boston-Toronto. Well, the Habs are still there. So
yeah.
I think tomorrow night's going to be fun. It's the most meaningful Habs-Leafs game in years. Because when the Habs were doing their runs in the early Carey Price years, of course, the Leafs were the 18-wheeler off the highway. And then Leafs got good over the last couple of years in the Habs nosedive. So this is a rare occurrence where both teams are, you know, have something to play for. So it's fun. Now, to get to your question, Brian, Mark Bergevin at midseason at a big news conference saying that he's not going to get sucked into the surprise season and start making the kind of deals that cup contenders are making for rentals. I made a few calls again in the last 48 hours, and I'm told that he's still on that he will not allow himself to forget what his plan was in the offseason, which was a reset for this team. That doesn't mean he's not going to do anything. I think if he does something sizable, which he tends to swing for the fences, you guys know, he's not scared to make deals. It's got to be a hockey deal. It's got to be someone that's still there come training camp. So I don't see him. You know, we know what all the big rental names are. He's not in the big rental names. If he does a rental, it's like a fourth line center.
Well, and that, I think that makes sense because, you know, Montreal, again, they've had a surprise year. Good for them. They've played a lot better than I thought they would. But I do wonder about this little four-game pack you just mentioned and how that can trigger some, you know, alterations in your plans. Because if they beat Winnipeg, Toronto, Nashville, Tampa, that market is going to be going insane.
Make us better.
And I had it. I got it from Habs fans this morning on Twitter, guys. I had that tweet where I just had fun and I said, if I had a magic wand, here's where I put all the big name rentals, right? And I had, you know, Simmons going to Tampa, and I had Panarin going to Nashville, and blah blah blah. So I went after all the serious cup contenders. I didn't have the Leafs on there because they already got Muzzin. And the Habs fans are all over me because they're like, "Well, what about us?" So you could tell that has shifted. That market, which had accepted that this was about the youth and Kakaniemi and all those kids that dominated the World Juniors, but now because of again last night, you could tell the wind is shifting in that Habs fan base. So I don't know. We'll see what tomorrow night brings. But to your point, I think Habs fans are now getting a little greedy.
Yeah.
And maybe they should.
Yeah, maybe they should. It's been a fun year for them. Enjoy it tomorrow night, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Right on. All right, boys. And I don't know what you were talking about, but go back at it.
Yeah, we're going to resume that exact conversation.
The bingo fight.
We'll back you out of Lake Muskoka in 20 years, pal. Don't worry about it.
All right, there's Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Yeah, I have been looking forward to this game all week. Like, I can't remember the last time I was kind of circling a Saturday night, maybe because we've had things on the go, and the Leafs haven't had any really big Saturday night. I mean, I was at the game last week
with Pittsburgh. Yeah, I was going to say, the Pittsburgh one was probably a decent.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, I was hyped for that, but there's nothing like Toronto-Montreal Saturday night. Nothing. Yeah. Like, if you're from Toronto. And that's all I can speak of because I'm from Toronto. It's always been Leafs Habs. It always has been. It's always meant more. It's always had a deeper meaning between both fan bases in terms of the history of the teams and size of the cities and the fact that both teams are very good and they're going tomorrow night. I've been looking forward to it all week. I can't wait for this game. Like I am really looking forward to it because I think it's a bit of a statement for both teams, more so for Montreal. Like, if Montreal wins tomorrow night, that's back-to-back Winnipeg-Toronto. Those are the two best teams in the country that you've beaten on big platforms. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole country, I think they're aware of what the Habs are doing. If they beat the Leafs tomorrow night, everyone's like, okay, what's going on here? And they would leapfrog Toronto.
Yeah, you at least pay attention for sure.
Yeah.
You know, as much as a statement game can be in February, that's it would be for Montreal.
For Montreal, it would be. And I think also for Toronto because they've won a bunch of games here. They got a bit of a run. You know, I think they're 4-0-1 in their last five games.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a bad lull there. There was a 10-game run where they were not playing that well.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Right, going right up into the first game back from the break in Detroit, it was like ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, if this keeps up, they're in trouble now.
Absolutely. They played themselves back into the pack, and tomorrow night's a chance to make up some of that ground that you lost.
Exactly.
You beat Montreal in regulation, you're 3-up with 2 games in hand, and then, okay.
Yeah, now you're just
a little bit of
Boston.
Breathing room.
Yeah.
You know? We'll see. We'll get to future headlines and our best bets brought to you by ProLine next.
I don't know about you guys, but I've had it. The weather. I'm done.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, I know we're Canadian. You got to stick it out and grind it out, but I'm done. It's enough.
Well, it's February 8th, so we have at least a month and a half. Minimum.
Give us one more month. Like, March 1st, be nice.
No, not going
to
happen.
I thought Groundhog Day was talking like it's supposed to be an early spring, right?
What's our guy? What's his name? Puxatani?
Phil?
Wyarton Willie.
No, that's the American guy.
No, Wyarton's in Ontario, you idiot.
Is Wyarton our guy?
I don't know. I've never even heard
Phil
of
Phil is the guy in the state.
Oh, that's a movie. That's Bill Murray's movie.
No, but there really is that guy in Pennsylvania, right? Punxsutawney or whatever it is.
And who is it here? Wyarton Willie?
Wyarton Willie.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I should have known that.
Come on, man. Wyarton's never been near Wyarton. Sound or something. It's like...
I've never been there before.
And
you ever want your ass kicked? Go up and get drunk and cause problems in Wyarton.
No, you know which city in Ontario has the best or worst reputation for that, depending on which way you phrase it, is Sudbury, Ontario. You go to Sudbury as a Toronto guy and try to pretend like you're bigger and better than people up there.
Get your face beat in?
We were up there for a hockey tournament. The
Go
whole
anywhere
team.
Around there, dude. Own Sound, Wyerton. They don't mess around.
No, nor
you
should
watch
they.
Yourself in Collingwood. Like, Collingwood's kind of nice.
Collingwood's soft as butter, dude. Don't, what are you talking about? It's all guys watch like you yours. And Johnny. What, you yeah, think you scare people?
Johnny, I'm not talking you and about Johnny. Okay, okay. I'll send you to a place.
Okay, send me to a place.
Send me to a place in Collingwood. I would never send go to these places place. In Collingwood. Why are you going to these places in Collingwood?
Because I'm old school.
Where there's just
I
a sign.
I watched a game at Montana's in Collingwood on Saturday nights. There's some gentlemen at the
yeah,
bar.
The regulars in every small town.
You just watch yourself.
Right. But we went to a tournament in Sudbury. The whole team was at the mall. So when you're that, how many,
yeah.
what, 15 guys on the team or whatever? There was like a pack of three or four locals.
Yeah.
Full-blown, like, trying to pick a fight with our whole team. To the point where we were all like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, if these guys are this insane, is yeah. this
you
a
think
trap?
Sudbury's the craziest place on earth because you almost got beat up with
yes,
your
basically.
Loser friends in Sudbury.
No, dude, we were a legit hockey team, like, AAA athletic yeah. big guys. Like, a bunch of them went to the OHL, the yeah. NHL. Carlo was on the team. Stage was on the team. Yeah. And we're like, this doesn't feel right. If there's
yeah,
four
there's
of them,
four guys, and they're confident they could take it down.
Right? Is this a trap? Like, is there like yeah. a 15 of them behind
the
this
corner.
Door?
Yeah.
And
we're going to fight you.
Carlo took two or three of them.
No, he led the charge to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Carlo looks like he can handle
out.
Himself.
Yeah, he probably could. He blew his knee out on the way out.
Yeah, Carlo.
Anyway,
I'm sure
Sudbury's
had
a tough town.
Kilts.
Ron Duguay's from Sudbury. Yeah.
Money. There's a few
Randy
cities
Carlisle's
out,
from
there's
Sudbury.
A few cities out west that
oh I'm sure city. Out west is a different
Porcupine
Plain
where Chaser and Dutchie are from
yeah Wendell's from up the road no thank you
that's a bar fight when you leave your house.
Saskatchewan's got to be the toughest province in the country, right?
I would think it's there.
I don't know if you would ever imagine wheeling into a bar like and trying to cause problems with Chaser and Wendell Clark and Dutch and
well, there's
but that's what I'm saying.
Clarkie's like, brothers and
you're like a Queen West guy, like you think you're cool and yeah, tough from yeah. Toronto, and you roll into a gritty bar in Porcupine yeah. Plains
with your Tom's shoes on.
There, you khakis. Won't walk out of the bar. You won't walk out. They'll
will
carry
be fully
you
fully pretzeled out of there.
Yeah, for sure. Just for fun,
they will stick your toes into your underpants in a full pretzel. And you'll reverse lobster out of there.
Imagine that bar fight back in the day. Chaser, the Clarks, Joey Kosher was from out there.
Yeah. Throw him in there, too.
Barry Melrose. Like, there was all sorts of
yeah.
nonsense.
Your feet will be stuck in your Fruit of the Looms, and you will be lobstered out of there.
Yeah, that would. I would think that's got to be the last place on earth you want to act like a tough guy.
Yeah.
Somewhere in small town Saskatchewan. Yeah, they're just waiting to pummel somebody. Oh, they were going to fight anyone.
If I walked in and saw one guy in Saskatchewan with a goatee, I'd leave. Because you know that guy wants to punch your face yeah. in.
He's waiting to fight. Oh, he yeah. was either going to fight someone he knows
he
from the
town. He was
there
to fight you. He's been yeah. waiting yeah. for you.
He could. Sure. He was so happy that you landed in his hometown.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, future headlines. Brought to you by our friends at 1100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to the website, 1100.net. We've talked about this all afternoon. Three big Toronto games this weekend. Two of them in New York, one of them in Montreal. Leafs Habs tomorrow night, Leafs Rangers on Sunday night, Raptors Knicks tomorrow night, and it sounds like Marc Gasol is going to play. More likely to be the headline come Monday morning. Both of them are extremes.
Yeah.
Toronto sweeps the weekend, or Toronto gets swept over the weekend.
I am going to go, and I'm very strong on this, a Toronto sweep. I've seen the Leafs play a couple games in Madison Square Garden over the last kind of year and a half on little weekend trips, and they're awesome in there for some reason. I don't know why. Montreal is going to be a big game, kind of probably the swing in the whole weekend, but I think that Knicks are so bad. You got to think the Raptors are
I think the Raps are a lock. My concern, I thought we were just going the Montreal-Toronto game.
We're going, no, total
we're going
clean
the whole
sweep.
We're going 3-0 or 0-3 for the Toronto sports teams on this weekend.
Yeah, they're
going
to go 2-1, so I don't know how that's going to happen.
So you're going against
I'm going in the middle. I'm going in the middle again.
Why complicate things?
Because it's... Okay, I'll go with the sweep.
Here's why I'm a sweep.
2-1 is leaning towards the sweep.
Here's why I'm a sweep. Because I don't think there's even a 1% chance the Raptors lose tomorrow.
No.
The Raptors are a lock.
But So there you go. Like, I think you're guaranteed a win. So you might as well lean, okay, now the Leafs are going to take care of the weekend as well. Because New York plays tonight. They're in Detroit. So they're on the road tonight. They go home. The Raptors are waiting for him. Marc Gasol's making his debut tomorrow night.
Yeah.
The Raps are healthy and they're playing in their role. Like, the Raps are winning tomorrow.
That's a lock.
And you're right about Sunday nights at the Garden. The Leafs always play the Rangers well. I think they get that win. Tomorrow night is the game where you wonder what's going to happen. But I think the Leafs are going to show up tomorrow night.
All right.
Yeah. I'm on a Toronto sweep.
You talked us into it. All three of us are there.
I'm on a Toronto sweep. Someone texting in saying that he lives right next door. I find this hard to believe, but right next door to the Rideau Lakes Bingo Hall. And he said there absolutely is a video out there of the brawl. And once he finds it, he's going to try to send it in. So...
Well, yeah, we want to see it.
There you go.
Just hope that everyone's all right.
Yeah, as long as everybody's okay. I mean, that goes without saying, right? It's like a big fight in hockey. As long as they get up and they skate off and they go on, we're all good with that.
You guys probably didn't get into this, but maybe next week we will. That fight in university hockey was... Oh, there's some layers to that, eh?
Bad news. Like,
bad news. I get the animosity, but it sounds like... I mean. You know, from what I read, it's a lot deeper than that. Comments and stuff. Like,
oh, really? I haven't read that much about it.
Yeah,
what was it, Acadia and St. Effects or something?
And, you know, there's some real hatred. And,
Those are East Coast schools. That's another tough province. Nova Scotia's got some grit.
I was going to say, you know.
Get your head caved in.
Well, we talked about out west. We haven't gone out east
yet. I know
yet.
From experience. I've taken a couple of random shots off the head, like in bars where you're like, where the hell was that? Yeah, where'd that come from?
Maybe next week we'll do a top 10 list across the country of places you don't want to get into a bar fight.
Yeah.
We'll rely on some information from the listeners and viewers.
Yeah.
And give us some info, and we'll go through a list.
We're definitely doing that.
I've got one. Kainai, Alberta is one.
That sounds mean.
Or Hobima. Either one. Those you take your pick there.
Alberta's in the running.
And then
I think BC's last. BC's soft. You're lost.
Well, hold on. Prince George, British Columbia.
You ever watch those Cops episodes?
Or Kamloops or Kelowna. There's some great
All right,
there,
BC's
man.
Back in the running.
They're in there.
My bad.
But it's interior. It's not Vancouver. It's the interior BC.
Well, it's just like, it's not Toronto either in Ontario.
No, but it's going to be Keswick or something.
Ooh, Keswick would be tough.
Yeah.
All right, boys. We're out of here. Big weekend. Yeah. Enjoy yourselves. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.